We're going to read out of Mark chapter 2, and this is what it says. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." For the sake of time, I'm going to go to verse 10. It says this, "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He was referring to the Pharisees and the Sadducees in that moment and those that were in that in-room experience. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." Verse 12 says it like this, "And then the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned outlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, 'We've never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this.'" You know what I love about this story? There's a lot of different things happening in this story. Here you got the paralyzed man. Then you got the four friends. And you got the house that was full. Let's start with the paralyzed man. Notice in the story, nothing changed for this paralyzed man until he met Jesus. You see, he heard about Jesus, and he was outside of the house where Jesus was inside of the house, and he yet haven't experienced true life change in his life, and he wasn't able to experience that yet until he had some friends that lowered him down from the house, and suddenly he was in the presence of greatness. He was in the presence of power. He was in the presence of mercy. He was in the presence of love. He was in the presence of the miracle worker. He was in the presence of the promise keeper. He was in the presence of the way maker. He was in the presence of Jesus. And I love what Jesus said to this paralyzed man. "Put yourself in this man's shoes, because I know I put myself in this man's shoes." As I mentioned, he was in the presence of Jesus in that moment. And there he is, face to face, looking in the eyes of Jesus. And I can only imagine, as he's looking in the eyes of Jesus, he's looking at the eyes of God's love. He's looking at the eyes of God's mercy. In that moment, right there, face to face, this man is paralyzed. And I find that it's interesting that that moment when his friends lower the man down, the very first thing that Jesus tells this man, that you've been forgiven of your sins. And I think that's interesting and intriguing, and I think that's powerful, because to be honest with you, perhaps this individual was dealing with some past mistakes. Perhaps this individual was dealing with shame and guilt. Perhaps this individual was dealing with regret and disappointment. But God knew exactly in that moment, at that time, that that paralyzed man needed to be told that he was forgiven of his sins. And I want you to know this morning, every single one of you that's sitting on a chair, God loves you and God cares about you. And just as Jesus spoke to that paralyzed man that you have been forgiven of your sins, I want you to know that sin no longer has to rule you anymore, and it doesn't have to rule your life anymore. But I want you to know that you can receive forgiveness that is found through Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. You may be hurt, broken, discouraged. You may feel like this sin is weighing you down. But I want you to know there's forgiveness found in Jesus, because he was in the presence of love and he was in the presence of mercy. The Bible says in John 3:16, in the Message translation, it says it like this: "How much God loved the world, he gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. I don't know what your old church told you. I don't know what your mom has told you, what your family members told you, what society has told you, what people have told you. Maybe they told you God is upset with you. Maybe they told you that God is mad at you, that God is disappointed in you. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie, and you don't have to accept that lie anymore. As we read together in John 3:16, the reason why God sent his son for you and I is to help put the world right back again. The reason why God sent his son into this world is so that he didn't want to come to accuse you of your sin or to accuse you of your failures. No, he came so that you could be free from your sin. He came so you could be whole and set free and delivered by the power of his love. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, I'm here to encourage you this morning. He loves you and he cares about you, and he has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. That God loves you right there in the middle of your mess. That God so loved the world that he died for you, that he died for me. Think about it, y'all. While you were a sinner, Christ died for you. While you and I were doing things we shouldn't have been doing, he laid his life down for you and for me. That he paid the price for you. He paid the price for me to be able to be forgiven of all of my sins, all of my mistakes, all of my shortcomings. That God sent his son for you, for me, so that we can receive his forgiveness. You know, you and I are like this paralyzed man, because you and I have come into this world full of sin. For the Bible says when we entered into this world, we were sinners. But thank God we needed a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus has saved us, and he is the Savior of the world. And he wants you to know that you've been forgiven of your sins, just like the paralyzed man was told that he was forgiven of his sins. But notice it didn't stop there. Notice what the text said. Notice that, yes, Jesus told the man that he was forgiven of his sins. But I love what Jesus told the man. He said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. In other words, what he's saying is this: you can come as you are, but God loves you and I too much for us to stay as we are. You see, after this man experienced the presence and love of God, that he was forgiven of his sins, his situation changed. And I have a question for all of us today and those that are watching online. Do you need something to change in your life? Do you need your marriage to get better? Do you need that addiction to be broken off your life? Do you need that fear and that torment and that worry and that stress and that anxiety that's getting the best of you? Do you need it to be removed out of your life? Do you need that depression to be removed out of your life? That guilt and shame to be removed out of your life? I have some good news for everyone that is in this room and those that are watching online. There is help in this place, and I believe this help is today. And his name is above all names. His name is Jesus, and whatever has a name, the name is greater than that sickness. That name is greater than that depression. That name is greater than oppression. That name is greater than any suicidal thought. That name is greater than whatever's coming up against you. And I want to encourage you this morning, Jesus is greater than whatever's coming up against you. Why am I so passionate about this? Because I'm living proof of this. Why am I so passionate about this? Because I'm evidence of God's love. Why am I so passionate about this? Because I'm evidence of God's goodness and his mercy and his love. I was just like this paralyzed man, living in sin. But I experience and I encounter a God that loved me. I experience a God that forgave me of all of my sins. I shouldn't be alive today, but God saved me. I shouldn't be alive today, but God delivered me. I shouldn't be alive today, but his mercies are new every morning. And I got a feeling there's some people that can relate with me because of his mercies are new every morning. That is why you are alive. think about when I was a teenager boy in sin. I think about when I was hurt. I think about when I was lost. I think about when I was broken and confused. I think about I had no sense of direction in my life. I was a wanderer. I think about I was made fun of and laughed at because I had a speech impediment and I was in special ed classes and I had no sense of direction and I was hurt, I was broken. I didn't really know who I was. I had no sense of identification. I allowed things to get the best of me and I became a victim of my circumstances. Think about the things that I went through and the things that I did and the things that I saw and the hurtful things that I did to people and the things that I caused people's pain and hurt. I think about the hell I put my mom through. I think about the things that I did to my family and my friends. I think about being a dropout of high school, 2.3 credits my junior year. I think about getting shot at, bullets going through my sweater. I think about the fact that I shouldn't even be up here talking with you. I think about that I was a sinner. I was hurt. I was dead on the inside. I was confused. I think about my mom used to always tell me, God loves you. God has a plan, but I was running from the call of God. I was running from the plan of God. I think about the hurt and the hell that I put my mom through. I think about the words that I would tell her. I hate you. I don't care if you die. I think about the times when I was mean to my sister, when I would beat my sister up because I was hurt on the inside. I think about how I used to call her things and tell her things and say things to her that weren't right. I think about when I was confused, wandering on the streets of Salinas. I think about the times when I would hang out with my friends that were the gangsters and the preps and the jocks, and I knew everybody and their mother at the school. I think about the times when I was wandering around the hallway. I didn't want to go to school because I didn't want to be made fun of because I didn't have enough, I wasn't secure enough. I think about the times when I would run from the security guard, y'all. I think about the times when the popos were coming after me, but I was running from the popos. I think about the times when I was stealing clothes, and I'm about to tell myself, but Mervyn's, y'all remember Mervyn's? I remember stealing clothes from Mervyn's, and my friend and I would go outside of Mervyn's, and there's an narc waiting for us. I'm out. But my friend, he was a little fat, and he got caught. But I'm glad he didn't snitch on me, Sam. But I outran that narc. He couldn't catch me. He couldn't catch me, Sterling. I was too fast for him. I think about when I was a player. I think about when I was a punk kid, getting in fights with certain gangsters. Come on, somebody. I think about, as I mentioned, I got shot at. 6 times the bullets shot at us, went through my sweater. I think about I was never home, and whenever I went home, I would shower, get my grub on, and leave, and my parents would wonder, where the heck am I at? I think about all the pain and hell, the things that I went through. See my mom going from one divorce to another divorce. Think about living in a small little trailer on the side of my grandparents' house. Thinking about worrying about what people thought because I didn't have all the money on welfare. Thinking about all these different things. Thinking about the sin I was living. I was living in sin and I was good at it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But God. Because I was a paralyzed man. But God had a plan. But God had a purpose. And I'm here to tell you the same plan and the purpose that God has for my life is the same plan and purpose that God has for your life. It may look like on the outside, mom and dad, your son and daughter don't want nothing to do with this God that you love, but I'm here to tell you, get ready, because your son and daughter are coming back to Jesus. Your son and daughter that don't know Jesus is about to get saved. But God had another plan. This paralyzed man was paralyzed from the time he was born. But God had a plan for this paralyzed person, Susan. Come on, somebody. But the truth be told, I wouldn't experience true life change if it had not been for my cousins that took time to invite me to come to church. come home. I wouldn't experience the love of God. I wouldn't experience the mercy of God if it had not been for some of my cousins that brought me to church. There in Arkansas, in the little small little church in Cold Hill, Arkansas, just like this story, I remember when the preacher was speaking and the Spirit of God was bringing conviction. And I remember, there I am. And I even remember to this day, and there I am in the front of the altar, and I'm sobbing and I'm weeping. And all I could think about is my mom that I put the hell through. All I could think about is also at the same time, I was experiencing something I've never experienced before. Let me say that again. I was experiencing something I've never experienced before. Because I experienced the weed, I experienced the vodka, the pepper, I experienced all those different things. But I remember when I was in that moment at that church, in that God moment when I was sitting down, and suddenly I started bawling my eyes out and I began to experience, someone say experience. I begin to experience this love like this paralyzed man experienced. I begin to experience the greatness of God like this paralyzed man did. I begin to experience the power of God like this paralyzed man did. I begin to experience the mercy of God like this paralyzed man did. And God began to heal me. And God began to deliver me. And God began to set me free. And then God spoke to me, go back to Salinas, California. So I go back to Salinas, California. And God used me to bring my mom back to Jesus. Jesus, and my mom loves Jesus. Woo. But none of that could have happened without my friends or my cousins inviting me. You see, his friends were selfless. Let me say it again. His friends were selfless. They were mindful of his circumstance. And they knew, if I can get him to this place, they knew if I can just get him to Jesus, everything would change. And this is the truth. Y'all hear me out in this. I think we can all get better at being like these four friends, because after we encounter Jesus, like I encounter, like you have encountered Jesus, now it's our mission to go make him known. Now it's our mission to be on a mission to tell people about this Jesus. You see, in John chapter 17, verse 18 says it like this. Just as you have sent me into this world, I'm sending them into the world. I want to encourage you. It's not about me. It's about we. It's about your neighbor. It's about your coworker. It's about your friend. It's about your classmate. It's about your coach. Those that are in the NFL, it's about you being a light on there and in there. Those that are managers and those that are leaders and wherever God has placed you, it's about them. It's about showing his love and giving his love. Those that are high school coaches and college coaches, you're there sent by God to populate heaven. You're not there for yourself, but you're there to use the influence that God has given you, because every single one of you have a circle of influence, and God has given you that circle of influence for able to pursue and let people know about his love and let people know about his goodness. I'm here to encourage all of us this morning. It's about your loved ones. It's about your family members. It's about those that you're called to meet on a daily basis. It's not about me. It's about we. It's not about you. It's about we. Let me say again, it's not about you, but it's about the person that lives next door to you. It's about the person that's in the grocery store. It's about the person that's at the gym. It's about people, and God loves people, and God died for people so you and I can show and share this gospel, so you and I can lead people to Christ. I love what the Bible says here. As I mentioned earlier, that these men were selfless. I think a perfect scripture that goes with it is out of Philippians chapter 2. And it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is our example. And what he did, we're called to do too. And Jesus went about in the community, and Jesus was out and about healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out devils. Jesus was all about being a friend of sinners because he knew his purpose, his assignment, was to give them the opportunity to believe in him. And I love what Pastor Randy said about the woman at the well and how Jesus read her mail and how this woman got impacted by God's love. And I believe there's many in this room that you know that you're called to show and give God's love and be God's love. I know, I remember when I first got saved, y'all, and when I went back to my school, because I had to go to continuation school. Now, how many of y'all know you reap what you sow? And there were some consequences. But I was in that continuation school, a saved man. I was in that continuation school on fire for Jesus. And I began to carry my Bible. Here I am with the Tina, because I used to carry the marijuana. I used to carry the stoves, the marble reds, the marble lights. How much more knowing as God set me free and he put a hunger and a passion and a fire on the inside of me. And he said, I want you to carry your Bible wherever you go. And here's this teenager boy carrying my Bible in a continuation school. I didn't care if I was laughed at, made fun of, because I found out how much God loved me, that my worth, my significance, my value was found in him and him alone. And here's this punk boy that used to get shot at. Here's this crazy kid that used to beat up people. Now he's winning people to Jesus. Come on. And I remember opportunities at the continuation of praying for these kids and leading them to Christ. And then I earned enough credits to go back to my regular high school. And my teachers and all my friends, they were stuck on stupid, y'all. Like they're like, no way, this can't be. This is not Anthony Joe Favela. Like, absolutely not. This is the kid that was lost. This was the kid that had no direction. This was a kid that had a potty mouth. This was a kid that disrespected people. This was a kid that did what he shouldn't have been doing. Heck no. I mean, I was a kid, you know, that if you're a teacher in here, I was that kid, I would annoy the heck out of you. If you were the principal in here, I was that kid that would annoy the heck out of you. If you're the person that used to be in the detention center as the person that would watch over the kids, I would probably bother the heck out of you back then. But you know what's so cool is God sent me back to my town, and God sent me back to that city and that area, and I was able to show God's love and give God's love and lead numerous of people to Jesus. Oh, no, no, I'm about to close. I got about 10 more minutes, I believe. I got about 10 more minutes. I believe so. 10 more minutes. Okay. I remember, look, let me tell you something, man. When you encounter God like this paralyzed man did, when you experience his love and his power, you can't help but want to go tell people about Jesus. I'm serious. And I remember spending time in the presence of God, and God began to put a hunger. And no one taught me this, but God taught me this. And he began to put a desire for the lost. He began to put a passion to reach those that don't know Christ. And I remember I'm at a track field and track meet. And next thing you know, I see all these people competing and running and all this stuff. And here I am. I gather a bunch, about maybe 60, 80 people, because I started breakdancing. And then as I'm breakdancing, people are coming around me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, look, they're like 60, 80 people. And the thought that came to me was, share the gospel. Share your story. And I shared my story. And then in that moment, as God is my witness, I gave an altar call. And about 68 people raised their hand. And they got saved at a track meet. Come on. I'm here to impart to you. I'm here to impart to you to do the work of an evangelist. Y'all remember Just for Feet? I went old school on y'all. He's like, oh, yeah, I remember Just for Feet. When I was going to Bible school in Oklahoma, they had the shoe store called Just for Feet. I was working there, and I'm on the shoe deck, mind my own business. No, I wasn't minding my own business. I was taking care of customers. I was taking care of people. And I see these three individuals show up, and I said, oh, they're up to no good. Now, how y'all know, I was a thief. And I can spot them quick. Y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I went up to the other person, hey, watch out for these guys right here. They look like they're up to no good. So you know what a homie does? He goes and he's like, hey, can I try on that shoe, please? And can I try on that shoe? What he was trying to do, which he did, is he said, give me this shoe and that shoe so the ploy can go in the back. He has his shoes on and he's gonna run. But little did they know this white boy was watching them. I'm half Mexican, so I'll say whites again. So I'm watching them. And they don't even know I'm watching them. So there's three of them, remember? So one steals a pair of shoes, a pair of shoelaces, and something else. And you know what they end up doing, y'all? They took off running. I said, heck no. True story. I started booking it. True story. I jumped, and I grabbed the guy's jersey, and you can pause it on the camera. And I was like, Michael Jordan, y'all. He got away. I said, heck no, I ain't gonna let these vatos get away from me now. What do they think they are? They don't know what they're... So I chased after them. Now, how many of y'all know you're not supposed to go chase after thieves? But not this guy. So I start chasing after them. I catch one of them. Then I found out there's another guy that was chasing after the other guy. He couldn't catch him. He comes back to me. He's all, whew, whew, whew. He's all, my aunt. I was almost there, but I was tired. He jumped this fence, it was like nothing. I thought I can do the same thing, but when I ran right into it. Boom! Smack right in front of the fence right there. I said, which way did he go? So this random lady shows up. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, my name is Anthony, who's your name? And she's, you know, probation. I'm like, let's go over here. I kid you not, we go behind Barnes & Noble, and guess who I see from a distance? That guy that jacked my shoes. He don't know. He doesn't know that I see him. He thinks he got away. Here I am. True story. I'm serious. This is awesome. So he's over there. I'm on the. I come over here on the wall and I'm like this. I promise. I'm running. He sees me. Takes off across the street. 71st Kenosha. There's the mall. I'm booking. I caught him too. I caught two of them. Then they caught the third guy. So then in that moment when I caught that second guy, what's the moral of the story? Why am I sharing this with you? Because when I caught the second guy, I had an opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with him. And in that moment, I began to share my story of how God set me free and how God loves him and how God has a plan for him. And in that moment, I was able to lead him to Christ. And he gave his life as his savior. Then we get back to Just for Feet. The manager's upset, takes their shoes, throws in the dumpster, which he shouldn't have done that. But then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to walk these guys out because they didn't get in trouble. So I walked them out, and I took that time to share the gospel with them, to show God's love. And I was able to lead two of the other friends, and they gave their life to Christ. You see, there's always opportunities to show God's love. There's always opportunities to give God's love. And it's a choice. Someone say choice. And when you are God-minded, you are God people-minded. And you got to remember, God has called you to be a soul winner. And if God could do it through me, God could do it through you. Come on, somebody. I think about the gym. I work out. I have opportunities to pray and lead people to Christ. You're called to do the same thing as well. I think about this morning. I was on my way to Winco to get some stuff for our university gathering this morning. I get out of my truck, and I see this gentleman with a hood on, and I just went up to him. Hey, sir, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you and that God sees and he knows, and he looked at me for a little bit, and then I looked at him, and I let him know. I said, I want you to know that God is going to heal that situation that's going on in your family's life is what I told him. And then the other thing I also told him, when I told him that God was going to heal him from his family situation, and I began to say other things, and right there in that moment he began to share with me that his wife is sick and that she has cancer. I didn't know that, but God knew that. And in that moment I got to pray with him, and there he is. He's sobbing. He's crying. He honestly could have just wept and broke down. But in his mind, he's going through the hell. In his mind, he's going through a lot. In his mind, he's feeling the pressure of life. In his mind, things are not making sense. The IRS is after him and so on. But in that moment, thank God, I was able to seize that moment. And I want to encourage us as I close, seize these God moments that God has brought those people into your life. I know many of you are doing this at times. I get it. But I also know that sometimes life can get busy and we can get distracted and discouraged and focus on the wrong things. And there's a lot of lost, hurting people out there, guys. And I want to encourage all of us today, get on mission. And the last thing as I close, the second time I said that, or third time. Listen, notice how the house was full. Notice how the house was full. The house was so full, they couldn't even get in the door. You know what that tells me, y'all? That these four friends weren't the only ones that they're inviting friends. They must have been also inviting many others because their friends brought their friends and family to the house where Jesus was at. And I want to encourage all of us today, let's seize this opportunity, this God moment. Let's take this serious, y'all. What if we get on mission like never before? What if we get bold about our faith like never before? I believe we can see this place full, standing room only, filled with people who need Jesus just like you and I do. As Pastor and others were saying earlier, we know that next week is our Easter weekend. And it's awesome that we get to gather together and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But what if instead of just us having a party with ourselves, we invite our community, we invite our neighbor, we invite our friend, we invite our classmate, we invite our boss, we invite our community to come out to experience a God that loves him? Because in this world, our people are hurting. In this world, there are people addicted, and people all around us need this light. And because of that, celebrations exist to know God and to make him known. You see, we all can come like this paralyzed man in this story, but after we encounter Jesus, it's our mission to be like the four friends and start making God known. If you don't mind closing your eyes and bowing your heads, I would love just to pray, and then I would love just to give an opportunity for those perhaps that have never given their life to Christ. But I would love to pray for you today. God, I believe that this message that was needing to be shared, God, I believe that there's many in this room, God, that you love and that you care about. God, I believe there's many in this room, God, that they've coming in like the paralyzed man. They feel like they're paralyzed by fear and worry and stress. They feel like they're paralyzed by torments that go on in their mind, and they're paralyzed by their past. But God, let them know, just as those four friends lowered that man down to Jesus, that paralyzed man saw the love of the Father. And I pray for the person in this room, God, that they would experience the love of the Father like the paralyzed man did. God, I pray, Lord, not only do they receive forgiveness and experience your forgiveness and your love, but they would leave this place completely transformed and changed, because one moment in your presence can change every situation. And I pray for the person in this room that wants to give up on life. May you encounter the presence of God. I pray for the person in this room that wants to quit on your marriage. I pray that you encounter the presence of God. I pray for the person that has dealt with different types of addictions. I pray that you have an encounter with the presence of God, with the love of God. God, I pray for the person in this room, God, that is hurt, confused, and doesn't know what they're doing and what's going on at home. God, I pray, Lord, that they would encounter your presence, that they would encounter your love, that they would encounter your goodness, God, like never before, God. But Lord, as they encounter your love, as they encounter your presence, as they encounter your mercy, God, God, they'll begin to give your mercy, give your love, give your goodness, God, as they're out and about in the community, as they're out and about in their neighborhood, the grocery store, the gym, wherever that may be, God. God, I thank that they're mindful of their neighbors. They're mindful from their loved ones, and they'll begin to share your love and give your love and to pray for people outside the four walls of the church, God, that we would be able to reach this valley, that we would be able to reach this city, that we'll be able to reach this community. I declare that celebration is going public, and I declare that we're going mobile with this, and I declare that we're called to reach a city, we're called to reach a valley, we're called to reach the state of California, and I declare declare here at this time, this moment, every person in this room, God, if they can just think about the one person, Holy Spirit, bring it back to remembrance. Holy Spirit, speak to the heart about that one person they can bring with them to church. They can invite out to church to next weekend, Lord. But more than anything, God, I pray and I ask that this becomes a lifestyle, God, that we would win this community in this valley for the gospel's sake, for your cause, for the cause of Christ. God, you love people. And just like that man at the grocery store, he was hurt. He was broken. But God, I'm so grateful that you were able to let him know how much you love him by sending someone just like me, just an ordinary man, an ordinary person. And Lord, I pray and ask, Father, that you would send us. God, here we are. God, use us. Come on, celebration. Just open your heart up in that area. Lord, here we are. Send us. Here we are. Use us, God. Use us, Father. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Christ and you want to make that decision by asking Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. For the Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. That God so loved you that he died for you, that he laid his life down for you, that he paid the price for you. The Lord loves you so much. He cares and he sees and he knows, and he is the solution. He is the answer. He's been calling you and you've been fighting against, but I believe it's time for you to open up your heart and allow Jesus into your heart, to allow God to change you and transform you. If God has done it for me, God can do it for you. As I surrender my life to Jesus at 16 years old, 17, I want to give you the opportunity. If you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, and I want to give you the opportunity as I count to three so I know who I'm praying with today, I want you to lift your hands up as I count to three. If you want to make that decision for the very first time and commit your life to Christ, surrender your life to Christ, and you want to repent like that paralyzed man, he turned, he repented, he received forgiveness. And if that is you today, and as I count to three, I want you to lift your hands up. One, two, three. Lift those hands up. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. That hand. That hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. That hand. That hand. That hand. That hand. I see all those hands. That's awesome. No one prays this prayer alone, but mean it from your heart. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. I ask you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Forgive me of all of my sins. God, my heart is open. Send me, Lord, to reach our community, to reach this valley. Say this with me. Say, God, here I am. Use me. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Lord, as we close, I just pray right now, Lord, that you begin to minister to every person in this room. Because I believe there's some people in this room that you need to be reminded that God is with you and God is for you. And God loves you. And God has a plan and God has a purpose for you. So as Tava begins to sing.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.